The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradiobreathing.org.
Dzień dobry. This is Joanne Janicki, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the August 20th, 2026 issue of the Ampole Eagle on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Well, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Got a great night's sleep. Windows open, no fans going, no air conditioning, just nice, comfortable sleeping weather out there. Loving it very, very much. Hope everyone is taking advantage of that. Grab paper, pencil, recorder, whatever. I did notice a little recipe as I scrolled through quickly to see how many pages I was getting to cover today in the Ampole Eagle. And of course, there are always email addresses and phone numbers and websites. And we're going to start on the last page with Polonia's Gardens by Renia Senko-Hanchak. And today we're going to talk about buy local, buy, B-U-Y, buy local, purchase local. And it's going to be about local farms, photographs. This is just such a great time of year. Photographs of sweet corn, pickles, cucumbers, tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, cut flowers, jams and jellies. I see honey and maple syrup. Eggplant, aubergine, beautiful, beautiful purple color, and even a crate of chickens. Now, let's find out where the chickens were. Farmers markets are bustling with activity now. Local farmers are busy selling their fresh produce, often grown within 100 miles of the market. Customers eagerly move from booth to booth, comparing and selecting from the array of goods. Saturday mornings, I try to visit the Clinton Bailey Farmers Market. In operation since 1930, it is managed by the Niagara Frontier Growers Cooperative. There, I find seasonal fruit, vegetables, flowering plants, jams, jellies, honey, maple syrup, herbs, cut flowers, and even live chickens for sale. Food is picked ripe, not stored in warehouses or shipped long distances. It's not often that you get to meet the person who grew your food. I've gotten advice for my small garden and even recipe ideas. The challenges faced by small-scale farmers are daunting. Their role often includes accountant, marketer, and distributor. They plan, plant, maintain, harvest, and transport goods, often working from dawn to dusk. Farming is costly when you factor in seed, equipment, fertilizer, maintenance, animal feed, labor, and irrigation. There is the unpredictability of weather and pests. This season has been especially difficult for some local farmers. Rain has been spotty, with some areas of western New York experiencing a dry summer, while others have received record rainfall. Tim of Williams Farms Lockport shared with me that his fields are underwater. Quote, I've replanted four times. In my 80 years, this is the worst season I've experienced. End quote. Rachel of Chickie Farms explains, quote, we can always irrigate when it's dry, but there's nothing you can do for flooded fields. End quote. It was a successful day for me at the market. I loaded the trunk of my car with bags, including pickling cukes, yellow beans. The donut peaches have a short season, but they are ready now and very sweet. Plums, and of course, corn. A quick check on the internet will provide a listing of markets in the area and their hours of operation. The Clinton Bailey Farmers Market is considered a food hub. Paul Desiderio is a distributor for area growers. Although not a farmer, he leases an area from the cooperative. During the summer season, farmers need to return to their farms, but the Clinton Market is open all week. The distributors are restricted to selling homegrown seasonal products. A trip to the farmers market is an experience for the whole family. Grandkids Vivian and Alex will be visiting soon. The market, with the chickens and ducks, is on their request list. They think people buy them for pets. We'll let them think that for a little while longer. Clinton Bailey Farmers Market, 1443 Clinton Street in Buffalo. Corner of Clinton and Bailey. Can't miss it. A great, great spot. Great farmers market. I have also been going to the Clinton Bailey Farmers Market over many, many years. And there are ads for many different farms. Beckon Farms from Sanborn, New York. Bittner Singer Orchards from Appleton, New York. Zastro Farm. Weinheimer Farms, North Tonawanda, New York. And Robinson Farms, Lockport, New York. I've never been, but I've heard that and I'm not sure if it's the Tonawanda or the North Tonawanda Farmers Market is a very special place. And I do believe they've gotten an award, Farmers Market Award. And East Aurora has a great farmers market. And some of these farmers markets are so popular. You have to get there quite early if you want something special before they run out, literally. Especially if you're a pickler, a canner, a freezer, a dehydrator, whatever. This is your time. So, let's move around here. I'm going to go right back to the beginning and get started in the usual front page. And lovely, lovely photographs by Peter Sloan. Flowers, herbs, tasty treats, and folk art demonstrations filled Cable Street in Buffalo on August 15th, 2026. The annual Our Lady's Street Fair and Harvest Blessing Mass was held at St. Casimir Church. The fair included an ice cream social, a bake sale, a food court, palm weaving demo, vichinanki sale, and more. The ladies were out. I can't tell. That would be the egg vichinanki. I hope I'm saying that right. Lady who's doing the designs and has a display of her work. And then you've got ladies looking at potted plants and what looks like maybe some house plants, cut flowers, quite an assortment. And then next, picture of the bake sale. People looking at wonderful, wonderful baked goods. I can make out some muffins, cupcakes, sweet rolls of some sort, cinnamon rolls of some sort, maybe. And there are boxes that probably contain cakes, maybe a pie. And lastly, a gentleman who is weaving palms. And he's got some tools. They're little mini clippers, or a kind of like a needle nose plier. and what looks like a stick of stick of glue, some thin gauge wire, and a pair of scissors. Apparently doesn't take too much. So, and lastly, beautiful cut paperwork on display. Lovely, lovely work. The designs are just gorgeous. I wish you could see them. Different colors. I see navy blue and I see pink and black on a white background and bright orange on a white background, turquoise and green on a white background. There's gold on a black background. Very striking, very striking. And just beautiful, beautiful work. Congratulations to St. Casimir Church for a successful festival. There is a photograph of Cardinal Dolan, and this is about him. Cardinal Dolan to celebrate Mass at St. Stanislaus Church. His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop Emeritus of New York, will visit Buffalo on Friday, October 23rd, 2026, to celebrate a special 10:30 a.m. Mass at St. Stanislaus Bishop and Martyr Church, the historic Mother Church of Polonia in western New York. Cardinal Dolan, who recently retired as Archbishop of New York after more than 17 years of leadership of the Archdiocese, remains one of the best-known voices in American Catholic life. His visit to St. Stanislaus will carry special significance for Western New York's Polish-American community and for a parish that has served as its spiritual home for more than 150 years. Cardinal Dolan has long maintained a close affinity for Poland and the Polish-American community. His celebration of Mass at St. Stanislaus will provide a rare opportunity for Western New Yorkers to join him in worship within the historic sanctuary. The Mass is open to the public. Following the morning Mass, Cardinal Dolan will be honored later that evening by the Polish-American Civic Affairs Committee of Western New York. Cardinal Dolan will receive the Mark Rivard Humanitarian Award during the organization's awards dinner at the Reichert House, 5000 Main Street in Amherst, beginning at 6:30 p.m. The award recognizes Cardinal Dolan's lifetime of leadership, service, and commitment to faith and community. We have a feature by Steve Dwugosz and the Polish Genealogy Society of New York State, PGSNYS, has a role in this feature. PGSNYS outlines family search pathways to wills and passports. When there's a will, there's a way, at least to find such a document through archived research, according to Valerie Baginski, a longtime genealogist presenting at the August 13, 2026 meeting of the Polish Genealogy Society of New York State. Breaking through our members' brick walls was the title of the discussion as part of the research night. Baginski, as well as fellow longtime researchers, Sandra Maciejewski Porter and Julie Roberts Szepankiewicz, outlined various search methods to find documents from family members. Baginski presented ways to find wills, as well as passports that date back as far as the turn of the 19th century. Patience and persistence were described as virtues that one must possess when partaking in this research. As an example, she listed a four-step process for requesting and finding old wills in the city of Buffalo and town of Cheektowaga. The process included establishing jurisdiction with Erie County Surrogate Court, a listed resource, finding a file or reference number through using the appropriate index search, obtaining a probate file either online or in person at court, and reading the evidence. She said records for wills can be viewed online for any person who died post-February 2014. Such records for those who died between 1970 and February 2014 can be found mostly in person at surrogate court through specific 2011 Though specific 2011 deaths can also be seen remotely. While records for the deceased between 1899 and 1969 are found through indexed family search investigation, emailing the court with a listed file number or hiring a researcher, she said sites such as Family Search and Ancestry contain will records for those who died between 1800 and 1898. New York State probate research was described by Baginski as being conducted through Buffalo research guides, websites, or the New York State Probate Pathfinder. Variables in such searches include date of death and file number, as well as name search, file search, and old index search. That's through Erie County records. Quote, "It's worthwhile to just check that search option," said Baginski, who cited an example of her own research into her great-great-grandfather, Stefan Baginski, who passed away in 1907 in Erie County. Quote, "The file number is the key to any path. Don't be discouraged by having long wait times through a court prompt inquiry." End quote. Baginski noted that she conducted a file search into Stefan's case with the browse all option utilized. A case number, file number, date of death, and probate were all obtained, and she emailed the court with a request for a digital file. 11 days later, Baginski received a response that included 7 attached files, one holding Stefan's will that was made in December 1906. A solid search is said to contain a name search, Erie County jurisdiction, last name, results yielded, file number, file date, and probate designation. Passport-related searches into deceased relatives were said to often contain other valued information, including where a person lived with dates of residence outside the U.S., information on previous passports and travels taken, ships sailed on, signed behavioral affidavits, and family photos. Baginski also said searchers should be vigilant in finding correct information, which may not be obvious at first glance. Quote, "Treat passport information as a clue, not proof," she stated. Quote, "Try wildcards, name variations. Not finding an ancestor in a record search doesn't mean it isn't there altogether. Check state departments through a request process if needed." End quote. "If you don't find the person, change the search," Baginski continued. For those deceased after 1925, the State Department is your next search stop. Wow, what a ton of information. That's going to take us to our first break. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Ampole Eagle on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. And that also takes us to Polish News Bites. Poland signals expansion of its armed forces. Poland used its Armed Forces Day celebrations on August 15, 2026, to showcase the rapid expansion of its military, staging what officials described as the country's largest ever military parade. Thousands of troops and hundreds of pieces of military equipment took part in the Warsaw event, highlighting Poland's growing role as NATO's main military power on the alliance's eastern flank. Prime Minister Donald Tusk told crowds that Poland's army would soon become the largest in Europe, underscoring the government's determination to expand the armed forces in response to Russia's war against Ukraine. Poland has dramatically increased defense spending and military recruitment since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. The military buildup comes as Polish officials increasingly warn that the country must be prepared for a direct confrontation with Russia. Deputy Defense Minister Cezary Tomczyk said this week that Warsaw is preparing for a potential war, while hoping such a conflict never occurs. He also warned that Russia could attempt a major provocation within the coming months. Poland recently unveiled its first frigate to enter service in decades in the Baltic seaport of Gdynia. Tusk said, quote, "Poland is becoming a maritime power in the Baltic Sea," end quote. In a rare show of unity, President Karol Nawrocki was also at the ceremony to name the new ship, the ORP Wisier, a medium-sized warship designed for escort, air defense, and other fleet protection duties. Let's go to Let's go to Polonia's calendar. We have Sunday, August 23rd, All Polish Composer Concert by the Amherst Chamber Orchestra at St. Stanislaus Church, 389 Peckham Street in Buffalo, New York, 2:30 in the afternoon, sponsored by the Polish Arts Club of Buffalo, free will offering for the concert. Following, Encore Garden Party. That's at the former convent at Wilson Street entrance. Space is limited. Purchase $20 advance tickets at www.polishartsclubofbuffalo.org. Tuesday, August 25th. Final, Our Lady of Częstochowa service at Queen of Angels Parish. It's a secondary worship site, formerly known as St. Michael's Church, corner of Electric and Warsaw Streets in Lackawanna, New York. 6:30 p.m., Father Kasperczak presiding, light refreshments to follow in Parish Hall. Friday, September 4th, Encounters with Polish Literature and Cultural Diplomacy with Dr. David A. Goldfarb, Group Fireside Lounge at Canisius University, 5 to 7 p.m., free and open to the public. September 5th, 6th, 7th, and September 12th through 13th, Polish American Family Festival and Country Fair at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, 654 Ferry Road in Doylestown, PA. Admission is $15. I have a website, www.polishamericanfestival.org. Again, www.polishamericanfestival.org. Thursday, September 10th, Farewell to Summer. It's a fundraiser to benefit the Buffalo Diocese Seminarians at Clocks Grove and Banquet Hall, 1245 Seneca Creek Road. Dinner, Chinese auction, split club raffle. For ticket reservations, St. Jude Center Seminarian Scholarship Fund, care of Ed Reska. Phone number, 716-648-0370. Again, 716-648-0370. Thursday, September 10th. Digging into Church Records, What Latin Do You Really Need to Know? By Kasia Dane. Polish Genealogical Society of New York State Meeting, It's at Erie One Bosie's, 355 Harlem Road in West Seneca, New York, from 7 to 9 p.m. That Erie One Bosie's is right across the street from the big SPCA. You can see that from Harlem Road, and you can see that on the backside as you're passing on the New York State Thruway, the 90, for those who use the numbers. Saturday, September 12th, 71st opening of the school year for Monsignor Adamski Polish Saturday School, 10:30 in the morning. Enter at the Nativity Miguel Middle School in the St. Stanislaus Church Complex. Classes for young and old students. No advanced registration necessary. For information, call Mira, 716-903-3242. Again, 716-903-3242. Classes for young and old students. Take a shot if you've been interested in learning any Polish at all. This is a wonderful opportunity. Saturday, September 12th, a genealogy fair hosted by the Polish Genealogical Society of New York State. 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon at St. Gabriel's Parish, 5271 Clinton Street in Elma, New York. It's a day of exploration, learning, and connection. You can visit pgsnys.org for details. Sunday, September 13th, 9:30 in the morning, and Sunday, October 4th at 10 a.m., Franciscan Jubilee Year Mass, marking the 800th anniversary of the death of St. Francis of Assisi. Felician Sisters, 600 Dote Street in Buffalo. The facility is handicapped accessible through the main entrance to the convent. On and off-street parking is available. Wednesday, September 23rd, Genealogy 101. The Polish Genealogical Society of New York State meeting, an introduction to the basics of tracing Polish ancestors, presented by Julie Szepankiewicz, president of the PGSNYS Incorporated. 5:30 p.m., this time is at the Julia Boyer Reinstein Library, 1030 Lawson Road in Cheektowaga, New York, free and open to the public. Let's see. I'm going to stop there because the list goes on, but we'll have more time to follow up. And we've got to jump to our friend Tom Tatopaczki. He's got a mailbag this time. How is Robert Lewandowski doing in Chicago? There's a photograph of Robert Lewandowski. And the caption reads, he scored 20 minutes into his first match in Chicago. The photograph source is Major League Soccer. Question. You recently reported that Robert Lewandowski signed a deal to play in Major League Soccer in the United States. So how's he doing in Chicago? And that's from Just Curious in Buffalo. Tom answers, so far so good. In his first home game for Chicago, Fire FC, he scored 2 goals, leading the Fire to a 2-1 comeback win over Charlotte at Soldier Field. 2 goals is a brace, and it says the term brace comes from old hunting and French terminology meaning a pair or two. The former Bayern Munich and FC Barcelona marksman became the fourth player in Fire history to score multiple goals in his home debut, joining Frank Kloppas, 98, Andy Herren, 08, and Tomasz Frankowski, 08. The 37-year-old Lewandowski has now scored 720 career goals for his clubs and country. First, next question. I enjoyed your series about traveling to Poland, but I have one question about the Crooked House in Sopot. In your photo, you can clearly see on the front of the building, food hall. If that's in Poland, shouldn't the writing be in Polish, not English? That's from Janek. And Tom answers, that's an interesting question. As I pointed out, Poles are quite fluent in English, and it's not unusual to see signs posted in that language. Of course, Poland gets many tourists from the UK and US, and Poland and the US have long had close ties. But it's more than that. The English language has over 1.4 billion total speakers worldwide, and it serves international communication, commerce, diplomacy, and science. I'm sure that Poland's tremendous growth and development over recent years has a lot to do with Poles' fluency in English. Next question. It seems that the Polish name Wojciech is interchangeable with Adalbert. Does Wojciech translate to Adalbert? And that's from Albert W. Tom answers, actually, it all goes back to Saint Adalbert of Prague, one of the early patron saints of Poland, Bohemia, and Hungary. He was born Wojciech in Polish, Wojciech in Bohemia, and was actually the first recorded user of the name. However, he took the name Adalbert when he was confirmed. He became Bishop of Prague and was a missionary throughout Eastern and Central Europe, but was martyred in 997. His body was placed in the Basilica in Gniezno. Next question. Can you settle a bet? My friend and I figured that Warsaw and Kraków are the largest cities in Poland, but what city is third? I say Lublin, and he says Gdańsk. Who is right? And that's from Jimmy the Geek. Tom answers, neither. Warsaw is first with 1,862,400 people, followed by Kraków with 807,600,000. But in third place with 673,500 is Wrocław. Whoop, wait a minute. Pronouncement. Wrocław. My bad. Wrocław is the historical capital of Silesia and Lower Silesia. Now I hope I'm saying Silesia properly. It's a dynamic city in southeastern Poland. It's considered a wealthy city with numerous banks and businesses. It's also home to 10 public colleges and universities, including the University of Wrocław. Oh, I'm going to have to remember that one. Just so you know, Tom continues, Łódź is fourth, followed by Poznan, Gdańsk, Szczecin, and Lublin. Last question. Reading about your trip to Poland, it doesn't seem you had anything to complain about. Honestly, weren't there some things you didn't like there? And that's from an inquiring mind. Tom responds, yes, it really bothered me that everyone in Poland didn't speak fluent English. Seriously, I didn't find much to complain about. Of course, I only spent just over a month there over the past year, so my experience there was somewhat limited. But I will tell you something that I didn't like. Graffiti. Polish cities are very clean, but have too many crude tags painted on buildings. I was told that it started in the 1980s as an anti-communist protest method, and now is a form of, quote, personal expression, or showing loyalty to a soccer club. Whatever the reason, authorities should crack down on it. Okay, so something Tom didn't like in Poland and his personal opinion. Nice job, Tom. Time for our next break. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Ampol Eagle on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Okay, I'm going to start with photographs. We have a group photo a bunch of lovely ladies lined up. There are some gentlemen standing in the pews behind the ladies and the priest. Photos courtesy of Christine Palczewski. Matka Boska Zielna. August 15th is the Feast of the Assumption. It is often called the celebration of Matka Boska Zielna, Our Lady of the Herbs. On this day, bouquets of flowers and medicinal herbs are brought to church to be blessed. These blessed bouquets are taken home and serve as a protection against illness, storms, or misfortune. This past weekend after all masses at St. Stanislaus, Father Jacek Mazur blessed the flowers and herbs brought to church. So now we know who the priest is. Wish we knew who some of these lovely ladies were. They're all dressed up in their church-going best, and there are some big bouquets of cut flowers. There are some small bouquets of cut flowers. There are some sprigs of herbs and cut flowers. Good job. A couple more photographs as we're going down. I don't know if this, so these are still in the church. And I do believe that one of the photographs is Andy Andrzej Gołębiowski and probably his mom. I don't recognize anyone else here. Sorry. Okay. We have another photo here. Melanie Bebeck, this is her professional photo, assistant director of the Chopin Singing Society and local church musician, won the tricolor, the top prize in the amateur category for her charcoal and graphite artwork at the Erie County Fair. Now, I have to stand corrected because I thought this was her photograph. But this is a charcoal, a magnificent charcoal drawing. It's a portrait, and I don't know if it's a self-portrait or if she drew someone else. It is amazing. I thought it was a photograph. And I think they still call it the Fine Arts Building at the Erie County Fair. It was always one of my favorite places to go. That's where they have the flower exhibits and the table design exhibits and quilting and sewing and art, photographs, just wonderful, wonderful projects. There's a photograph below it, and I don't know if it's Melanie. She's standing below her, if it is Melanie, she's standing below her prize-winning portrait. And if it is Melanie, that's not her in the portrait. So whoever the lovely lady is, we won't know. So, let's see, I'm going to scroll down one more time and see if there's anything else here I need to comment on. And there's not, but that brings us to Polkas on Tap. We have Saturday, August 29th, the Infant of Prague Summerfest. 921 Cleveland Drive, Cheektowaga, New York, 2 to 5 p.m., the New Direction Polka Band. I just drove by Infant of Prague last night. So easy to get to. You get off at the Cleveland Drive exit, and it's on your right-hand side as soon as you get off that exit. Can't miss it. So Saturday, August 29th, Infant of Prague Summerfest, 2 to 5 p.m., New Direction Polka Band. Also, Saturday, August 29, Buffalo German Fest, Cheektowaga Town Park, 1 to 4 p.m., Polka Boys will play, and I'm sure there will be an Oompa band or two playing at the Buffalo German Fest along with Polka Boys. Wednesday, September 16th, Polka Boosters meeting, Bill's tailgate party. Sign up is required. Polish Falcons, 445 Columbia Avenue, Depew, New York. Doors open at 7 p.m. Meeting 7:30 to 10. 7 is the polka band. Saturday, September 26th, polka party at Assumption Church Hall on Amherst Street in Buffalo, featuring special delivery. Tickets are $10 in advance. Call Karen Pinzel. Phone number 716-864-2135. Again, 716-864-2135. Wednesday, October 21st, another Polka Boosters meeting at the Polish Falcons, 445 Columbia Avenue, Depew, New York. Doors open 7 p.m. Buffalo Concertina All-Stars will play until 10 p.m. Okay, some good polka music coming your way. We have some more group photos, and the first one, very colorful, and it's a very wide, I'm going to guess there's about 25 or 30 people in this photograph, and that's just a guess. And the caption reads, "A Summer Picnic. Chopin Singing Society members gathered for the annual Mass and picnic at Stiglmeyer Park on August 11th, 2026. Father Benjamin Fiore was the celebrant." There is a photograph of Father Fiore saying Mass under the shelter at Stiglmeyer Park. There is a photograph of Francis, I'm going to guess I pronounce it Cirbus, C-I-R-B-U-S. Francis is sitting in the car, and she's got a little bouquet of flowers. And she was the honoree celebrating at 95 years young. And I'm telling you, I'm considerably younger, and she looks better than I do. I mean it. Wow, she looks terrific. Another photograph of Father Fiore saying Mass. Another group photo with a cake. And Francis Cirbus is sitting surrounded by the members of the Chopin Singing Society. And it's a gorgeous cake. Strawberry, real whipped cream. Whipped cream, looks like whipped cream filled as well. And another big bouquet of flowers. Okay, so that's wonderful. Here's an upcoming program. Program focuses on the arrest of Leon Czolgosz. That should be a name that jumps out at anyone who lives in, certainly Buffalo, at least Western New York, and any historian. The Black Rock Historical Society will commemorate the 125th anniversary of Buffalo's Pan-American Exposition with a special public program. The arrest of Leon Czolgosz on Saturday, August 29th from noon to 3 p.m. The event will take place at the historic police station, number 13, 346 Austin Street in Buffalo, New York. The free event will revisit one of the most consequential and tragic episodes associated with the 1901 Pan American Exposition, the assassination of President William McKinley, and the immediate arrest and detention of his assassin, Leon Czolgosz. On September 6, 1901, President McKinley was visiting the exposition when he attended a public reception at the Temple of Music. Czolgosz, an anarchist, approached the president in the receiving line with a concealed handgun and fired two shots. Bystanders immediately subdued him and took him into custody. McKinley was rushed to the exposition hospital, but died 8 days later on September 14th. The August 29th program will focus on an important but less widely known part of the story, what happened to Czolgosz immediately after his arrest. The historic police station number 13 provides a rare opportunity to interpret the events from the perspective of the local community and law enforcement. Rather than simply recounting the assassination itself, the program will explore the arrest, interrogation, and early detention of Czolgosz and the extraordinary circumstances that placed Buffalo at the center of national and international attention. Patrick F. Ryan of the Richardson Olmsted Campus will present a historical perspective on the Pan American Exposition and the events surrounding the assassination. Jonathan White of the Allentown Association will present, quote, his confession in his own words, end quote, interpreting Czolgosz's account of the events and providing visitors with an opportunity to hear the story through the words attributed to the assassin himself. Building owners Andy McClellan and Julie Zack of Environmental Education Associates will provide tours of the historic police station, offering visitors a firsthand look at the site connected to this remarkable chapter in Buffalo history. The afternoon will also feature live music by Setanta and a special invocation by Father Paul D. Seil, chaplain of the Buffalo Fire Department. Well, that sounds like another interesting presentation coming up. To get to know more about Buffalo's history and existing buildings in our community. And people probably drive by that police station all the time and never know the connection to the assassination. Fascinating. Okay, we have just, let's see, my bad, that we're not going to read that because that has already taken place. Here's an update, a pre-sacrifice in Auschwitz featured on Polem radio program. The newest episode of the Polish-American radio program features the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who offered his life for the life of a fellow prisoner in Auschwitz death camp during World War II. Dr. Eileen Lyon shares the research she's done into the life of the saint and other Catholic priests who were murdered by the German Nazis. The episode can be heard anytime at website polishprogram.com and includes Polish music and the newest Polish language lesson for beginners with Pan Marek. Program host is Andy Gołębiowski. In addition to hosting the radio program, Gołębiowski also organizes trips to Poland. For information about his tours, please email, and the email address is andy@polishprogram.com. Again, andy@polishprogram.com. I have a phone number, 716-510-7562. Again, 716-510-7562. I know people who have taken that trip with Andy and had a marvelous, marvelous time. Let's take our last break. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Ampole Eagle on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. So, We have, I'm going to do a couple of recipes here. And this is from Polish Heritage Cookery. It's by the late Robert and Maria Srebel. It's available on Amazon.com. And these are fruity treats and perfect, perfect recipes for this time of year. First is a peach or apricot souffle. And I'm not even going to try, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to try the Polish. My bad. Butter an oven-proof baking dish. Sprinkle with breadcrumbs and set oven at 350 degrees. Wash, cut into eighths, 1 pound of ripe peaches or apricots. Combine in a pot with 2 to 3 tablespoons of water and cook until the fruit disintegrates, and then put it through a sieve. To sieved fruit, add 3/4 cup of sugar and simmer on low heat, stirring until mixture thickens. Set aside to cool. Stiffly beat 4 egg whites, adding 4 tablespoons of powdered sugar, 1 at a time, and beating another 2 minutes. Fold into warm fruit mixture and mix thoroughly but delicately. Transfer to baking dish, set in pan of hot water, and bake about 30 minutes. Serve immediately with coffee cream. You're going to whip those egg whites to stiff peaks, and you're going to add 1 tablespoon of powdered sugar at a time. You don't want to overbeat them because then your souffle will collapse. So, next we've got pears in chocolate. My neighbor, a good neighbor, my neighbor Ed next door, lives in a house with a pear tree. And the pear tree I know of has been there since 1956 when we moved into that house. And that pear tree is loaded this year. The tree doesn't look healthy, hasn't for years, but is still feeding the birds, the squirrels, and let me tell you, the deer. So let's read about pears in chocolate. Drain well 10 cooked or canned pear halves. Arrange on a serving dish and drench with chocolate sauce. Chill 1 hour before serving. Top each portion with a dollop of whipped cream if desired. Of course you desire that whipped cream. That's the recipe. How easy is that? I must tell you, it reminds me of a special dessert called Pears Helene that was served at the Mansard Inn where I worked many, many, many years ago. A great, great restaurant back in the day. I miss it. Pears and chocolate. And if your pears are fresh off your neighbor's tree next door, just in case you have a neighbor with a pear tree, you can peel those pears and core them and cut them in half and simmer them in maybe some simple syrup. That's just water and sugar. You can add a little cinnamon stick or something and cook those pears until they're soft. You don't have to can them. You don't have to bake them. You don't have to fuss over them. And then use those pears after they're cooled. Put that chocolate sauce on. And get the whipped cream ready. All right, I think we can work in the last story, which is the last article, which is a science article. And I always enjoy learning something new from science in Poland. Good genes can make people eat worse, Polish study finds. Telling people they have a genetic risk of obesity does not necessarily help them lose weight or change their eating habits. And being told they have a low risk may actually encourage unhealthy behavior, a Polish-Greek study has found. Researchers found that information about genetic risk alone rarely produced lasting changes in weight, diet, or physical activity. People at high genetic risk were more likely to become motivated to change their behavior, but meaningful weight loss was seen mainly when genetic information was combined with intensive professional support. The findings come from an analysis of 23 randomized controlled trials involving almost 8,000 people conducted by researchers from SWPS University's CARE-BEH Center for Applied Research on Health Behavior and Health at, this is Greek, I'm not going to pronounce it well, I'm sorry, Harakopio University in Greece. The study was published in Obesity Reviews. Obesity is a global health problem. In 2022, about 1 in 8 people worldwide were living with obesity, while excess body weight was associated with an estimated 5 million deaths in 2019. Although genetic factors influence the risk of obesity, researchers say they interact with environmental, psychological, and physiological factors. Lifestyle also plays an important role, with diet and physical activity affecting both the risk of obesity and related conditions such as type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. As genetic testing becomes increasingly accessible through personalized medicine, the researchers wanted to determine whether giving people information about their genetic risk could actually change their behavior and how that information should be communicated. They analyzed more than 2,000 publications, ultimately identifying 23 randomized controlled trials covering 18 interventions and nearly 8,000 participants. The result showed that simply informing people about their genetic susceptibility to obesity was generally not enough to produce lasting changes. Quote, "Many of us hope that knowing our DNA profile will provide a clear path to health and maintaining a dream figure. Unfortunately, things are not that simple. The conclusions from the study show that information about genetic risk alone does not work. Without additional support, providing patients with information about their genetic background usually does not lead to lasting changes in weight, eating habits, or physical activity levels," said Zofia Shuska, PhD, a psychologist at SWPS University and first author of the study. The researcher said the finding is consistent with theories suggesting that interventions focused primarily on communicating health risks tend to produce either short-lived behavioral changes or no change at all. In some cases, the information could even have the opposite effect. The study was conducted at part of the Better For You Project Consortium, funded by the European Union's Horizon Europe program. And again, website www.scienceinpoland.pl. That's going to wrap it up for today. You've been listening to a reading and a reading of articles and features from the August 20th, 2026 issue of the Ampol Eagle. We read from the Ampol Eagle every Saturday at 3 p.m. Your reader has been Joanne Janicki. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have the Island Dispatch. Following that, at 5 o'clock is the Lockport Union Southern Journal. And at 6 o'clock, we have the Jamestown Post Journal. Stay with us for these readings and more. If you're listening to this publication online, you're probably using our website, a podcast player like Spotify or iTunes, a streaming service like Siro, or a smart speaker. Did you know that we now have a dedicated app that can be downloaded to any mobile device, like a smartphone or tablet, for free? App users can conveniently access our live stream and any episode of our podcast easier than ever. To download the app, just type NFRRS in the search window in the Apple App Store or in the Google Play Store. Contact us anytime if you have any questions by calling 716-821-5555, extension 5. Thank you. The program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability.